Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Spurs Up Show, best Gamecocks podcast on the internet. Today is Friday, May the 21st, 2021. Today's show, folks, it's officially talking season, and it's never too early to talk Gamecocks football. So that's exactly what we're going to do on today's show, guys. Our friends over at collegefootballnews.com, I dive into their latest 2021 South Carolina Gamecocks football preview, guys. I'll go through it with you guys. Offensive, defensive, they break down the schedule, win totals, top returners. We'll go through this preview together, and I will give you my full unfiltered thoughts. As guys, it's never too early to start looking ahead of the 2021 football season and talk Gamecocks. Guys, also news and notes, including 100% capacity for Williams-Brice Stadium this fall. Guys, it's exciting Friday. We've got a lot to get into here on a Friday, and it's all brought to you by our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. Guys, Upstate Movers Group, superior moving service. They bring care and attention their companies can't offer because they're just too busy maintaining trucks and profiting off of them instead of focusing on service. Guys, service is what separates Upstate Movers Group from the competition. They're not a trucking company. They're a moving services company, and they're also employee-owned co-op. Their movers are paid twice the industry average, and everyone on the crew is invested in your success. They have dedicated professional crew members, and they also offer black glove service. They offer end-to-end packing services, custom crating and packaging for special items, and cleaning services as well. They're founded by Greenville natives and University of South Carolina alumni, guys, so a Gamecock-owned small business. They also offer 20 years of project management moving experience, and they can offer logistics and solutions that traditional moving companies simply do not have the skills for. Guys, whether in the upstate or across the state of South Carolina, if you have any moving needs in 2021, be sure to check out our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. You can find them on social media at Upstate Movers Group. Or of course, if you have any other questions, go to their website, upstatemoversgroup.com. That's upstatemoversgroup.com. Be sure to check them out and tell them Chris from the Spurs Up Show sent you. Let's get it. Boys and girls, it is nearly that time of year once again, as all of our attention and all of our focus is currently on the diamond, and rightfully so. College football looms in the distance, and more importantly and most notably, talking season right around the corner. You know what that means? You know what talking season means? Preseason prediction season. Preseason magazine season and preseason previews and breakdowns of our beloved Gamecocks. Guys, hope you're all doing well. Happy Friday, TGIF, guys. As I've said before, Thursday through Saturday series this weekend. So, no, I am not recording this after game one of last night's South Carolina Tennessee series. So, I truly, genuinely hope that this show is finding us all well today. I hope we're talking about the Gamecocks getting a game one win over the Tennessee Volunteers. But guys, today's show, I wanted to switch things up a little bit as we had actually done prior, I think, during the Arkansas series or one of the other Thursday through Saturday series. And I thought to myself, what can I do? You know, because I don't want to wait, you know, selfishly, guys, I'm sorry. I don't want to wait until after game one at like 10:30 at night to record the episode and whatever. I'm like, how can we switch things up? And if you're anything like me, first things first, you know there's no offseason in college football, right? You can talk college football, talk Gamecocks football, SEC football all year long. There truly is no offseason. But if you're anything like me, and I don't know that they get a lot of attention and a lot of credit, which I don't really know why. I don't know if you guys have ever even heard of them. But if you're anything like me, you grew up and one of your favorite things to do, especially during game week, but in the preseason, whenever, was to log on to collegefootballnews.com and read what the guys over there were saying about your favorite team. They break down every single team. They give predictions. They give previews. They do breakdowns. whatever. And that was like one of the first sites that I ever discovered when it came to college football and SEC football and just somebody that taught college football and made predictions in the way that they do. And I was just scrolling randomly on Twitter and on their website the day and realized, hey, they dropped a South Carolina breakdown, a prediction, a preview for the 2021 football season. So I figured, you know what? Why not? Let's, instead of me just tweeting it out or whatever, let's go through it together. Let's see what they've got to say about the Gamecocks. And I've already been through it once, guys. I can tell you guys this. It is very in-depth, very interesting. We're going to experience it together because, like I said, it's talking season, man. And going into this season where there's so much hype, there's so much excitement, you know, we're all on the edge of our seat to see what South Carolina football finally, what does this product look like on the field in Shane Beamer's first season? A very, very exciting time in Gamecock Nation. And again, guys, I hope you're all doing well on this Friday. Hope this show finds you well, whether you're on the commute, you're in the office, maybe you're taking the day off, the weekend off, you're enjoying the hot weather, whatever it may be. Thank you all so much for tuning in. But let's go ahead and dive right into this. And I guess this is kind of a free plug for collegefootballnews.com. So, hey, guys, you're welcome. I don't know. Seriously, the guys over at College Football News, man, they do a fantastic job. They do great work. Pete Fuchak, he's one of the big writers. You might have heard about him. I think he's pretty big on social media. Yeah, 9,000 followers. Well, actually, whatever. 9,000 followers to be a national guy. I guess that's not that big. College Football News on Twitter has, 20,700. So you guys have probably heard of them. But I thought, why not? Let's go over this together. The collegefootballnews.com. And we'll be doing this, by the way, guys, for the Athlon magazine, for Phil Steele's magazine, for Pick Six Previews, my good buddy. We're going to go through each and every single preseason prediction, preseason breakdown, preview, whatever, a South Carolina, and just kind of go through it together, and I'll give my instant feedback, and you guys can give yours and leave comments and all that good stuff. Like I said, guys, it's talking season, and this stuff, does it really mean anything in the long run? No, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to kill time over the offseason. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get right into it. CollegeFootballNews.com 2021 South Carolina football preview. So the first thing they start with is this. Breaking down the offense, the first thing they do, offense, defense, of course, they start with the offense. And this is their first note. It wasn't a fun year. Yeah, you can say that again. Looking back at 2020, by the way. The offense stalled after a promising start, ended up averaging just 355 yards and 24 points per game. There were bright spots, and there's a whole lot of young talent and potential returning. And now it's up to new head coach Shane Beamer and offensive coordinator Marcus Satterfield to add more big playability in all phases. And I agree, and that's something Shane Beamer taught about during spring ball. They continue. They say it all starts with ... the offensive line. There might be several position battles across the board, but four starters are expected back on the O-line that wasn't awful for the ground, but needs to be a whole lot stronger at keeping defenses out of the backfield. And I'll say this, by the way, on that note, guys, because I've heard and read how bad South Carolina was in pass protection. And yes, they were not good. Don't get me wrong. But I also think having a mobile quarterback is going to help those numbers out tremendously. Like, I think the Gamecocks offensive line is getting demonized a little bit for the struggles of Colin Hill and his mobility or lack thereof. Anyways, continuing on. As long as this group is pounding away for Kevin Harris, everything should be okay. The 5'10", 225-pound junior took over for the ground game, became one of the team's strongest performers, and he's not alone, even with number two rusher Deshaun Fenwick taking off for Oregon State. If former star recruit Marshawn Lloyd can rock after suffering a torn ACL, look out. Agree 110%. I think we all agree the running game is going to be the strength and focal point of this football team. They continue on. They say, and the quarterback will be ... Luke Doty, Maybe. Ryan Helinski left for Northwestern, 2020's leading passer. Colin Hill is finished. But Doty looked the part in offseason practices as the main man left from last season. JUCO transfer is a big 6'3", 225-pound option, and freshman Colton Gauthier will get his shot. Shai Smith is now a Carolina Panther. He led the team with 57 catches, but second leading receiver tight end Nick Muse is back for his super senior season after catching 30 passes for 425 yards and a score. Now the wide receivers have to emerge with Georgia Tech transfer Amarian Brown adding some flash and junior Xavier Leggett adding a little bit of pop as the leading returning yardage wideout. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Luke Doty is going to be QB1. I know Jason Brown and Colton Gauthier are going to give him some competition. I think Luke Doty's the guy. I'd be shocked if he's not QB1 when the season starts. But like they mentioned, man, it's all going to come down to the wide receiver position. In regards to the passing game, I think there's no secret this is going to be a run-heavy offense, 70-30. I mean, you'd be stupid not to be giving the ball to Kevin Harris and Marshawn Lloyd. Don't forget about Zaquandre White and Rashad Amos. You have got a ridiculous running back room, but you're going to have to throw it at some point. So who can step up outside of Nick Muse? Can Amarion Brown and EJ Jenkins, can they be the guys that you thought they'd be in the transfer portal? And then guys like Xavier Leggett, Josh Van, can any, you know, DeCarrion Joyner, can any of those guys go from being just guys in your room to being dudes, like I mentioned previously? All right, let's move into defense. They talk about the South Carolina defense. It says the defense was loaded with upside and the secondary was full of NFL talent and it just didn't work. You can say that again. The wheels came off with a whole slew of key parts missing at the end, finishing the season allowing 452 yards and 36 points per game, with the line getting destroyed way too easily. I mean, that's, dude, I know we were bad last year, but like hearing those numbers in the 2020 season, 452 yards a game, 36 points per game with the players that were on that defense, guys. Baffling. It is truly baffling. Defensive coordinator Clayton White will try to fix that with the 4-2-5 alignment working around .. the linebackers. They say the front four has to be far better, but it's that two in the 4-2-5 if the alignment really does stick with the style that has to rock. Leading tackler Ernest Jones is off being an LA Ram, but the combination of 220-pound senior Sherrod Green and 222-pound sophomore Mokaba are experienced enough to be terrific as the season goes on. I think the one guy they're not accounting for also is Debo Williams, the transfer linebacker. I think he makes a big impact this year. They also say, now the line has to work despite losing a few key parts, the transfer portal, and it will. What turned into a problem should now be one of the team's biggest strengths. Leading sacker Kingsley Nagbare is a good one to start with on the end, and it comes, and in comes Jordan Strawn from Georgia State. After coming up with 10.5 sacks and 14 tackles for loss, Zach Pickens leads a strong rotation of 300-pounders in the interior. Yeah, I think we all agree, man. The front seven, at least that defensive front, that defensive line, without a doubt, is the strength of the defense and might be strength of the football team. They continue on, the pass rush has to be there to help out with the redo in the secondary. Most of the NFL parts weren't around for most of last year. And for good and bad, that threw some inexperienced guys into the fire. There's no J.C. Horn, but the corners are okay, even with John Dixon bolting for Penn State. Despite losing key tackler Jamie Robinson to Florida State, getting back Jalen Foster after finishing fourth in tackles helped. So they're actually a little bit higher on the secondary than I am. I think the secondary certainly is the biggest question mark that surrounds this football team. I think when South kind of plays teams that can throw the football, it's going to be a struggle, but who knows? I mean, I think there is some good young talent there, but it's just, it's so unproven. It's so, so green. Will those guys be able to make that adjustment? Will Torian Gray be able to get the most out of those guys, especially early in the season? Okay, let's move to the next page. They move into best South Carolina offensive player for the 2021 season, and they rank the top five offensive players. And to know, and I'll go down five through and then give you guys one and read the description, because they have a description for the top guy and they just rank the rest of them. At number five, they have offensive tackle Dylan Wanham. Number four, wide receiver Amarion Brown. Number three, offensive tackle Ja'Kai Moore. Number two, tight end Nick Muse. And guys, it's no secret. You guys know who number one is. Running back Kevin Harris. They say this about Kevin. It was supposed to be Marshawn Lloyd's offensive backfield. The former star running back recruit suffered a knee injury and didn't get into the mix, and Harris stepped up and turned to one of the SEC's best backs. The 5'10", 225-pounder should promise as a freshman, and then everything worked on a team that couldn't get anything going. Oh, it's supposed to say showed promise. They had a little typo. I was like, how does that sentence make any sense? Showed promise as a freshman. He not only led the team with 1,138 yards and 15 scores, averaging over 6 yards per carry, but he was third. Get this, guys. He was third with 21 catches. That's absurd. Lloyd should be back and fine, and there are other options, but Harris is the easy answer to lead the new attack. And I'll tell you this, guys, I really don't have an issue with those rankings. I think you can't rank Marshawn Lloyd in the top five until he plays a down. You know what I mean? There's just too many hypotheticals, too much speculation. The one that fans need to note, Amarion Brown at number four. I've been telling you guys all offseason, Amarian Brown's going to be legit, man. Amarian Brown is going to be a stud. He is going to stretch the field for South Carolina. All right, best South Carolina defensive player. I'll do the same thing. 5 through 1, and then break down number one. At number 5, they have defensive end Jordan Birch. Number 4, defensive tackle Zach Pickens. Number 3, linebacker Mo Kaba. Number 2, safety Jalen Foster. And then the number 1 best returning defensive player for South Carolina, defensive end J.J. Enagbare. And they say this about J.J. It was a weird year for the South Carolina defensive line. It had a ton of talent, size, and options, and it just didn't work. Again, you can say that again. Now the line is loaded with veterans and gets even more pass rushing help with Jordan Strawn, a hybrid outside defender from Georgia State. And I talked a lot about Jordan Strawn. Jake Crane and I both did on yesterday's podcast, Jake Crane of the J-Boy Show. He is very, very high on Jordan Strawn, his ability to adapt to the SEC game and at this level. So very excited for Jordan Strawn adding him. Enagbare is still the star of the front four, though. Even with all the team's issues, he was still an all-SEC performer with 30 tackles and 6 sacks with 7 tackles for loss. He might not be the speed rusher that Strawn is, but the 260-pounder can move. And I would agree, the only thing I disagree with, and this is no knock on the kid, I don't know why they're so high on Jalen Foster. I mean, I know he's a senior, he's experienced, I guess, but how is Cam Smith not in the top 5? I mean, I know it was an interesting up-and-down year for him, but I think Cam Smith's your number 1 defensive back. Seriously. So I would put Cam Smith in the top 5 person. All right, they also talk about top incoming South Carolina transfer. And guys, I just told you about him. Wide receiver Amarian Brown. It says Jordan Strawn is a hybrid linebacker defensive end who tied for the national lead in sacks last season at Georgia State. He'll make a huge difference, and it's possible that JUCO transfer Jason Brown ends up making a big impact at quarterback. But for a team that needs receiving help, getting Brown is a big deal. He's not all that big, just 5'9 and 165 pounds, but he can move, averaging 18 yards per catch with 8 scores in his 2 years at Georgia Tech. He's not going to be a volume catcher, but he will stretch the field. Again, guys, I'm telling you, if you are sleeping on Amarian Brown, wake up. Amarian Brown is going to be that dude, I think, in this Gamecocks wide receiver room. All right, let's move to the next page. They talk about South Carolina's biggest key for the 2021 football season, biggest key offensively. And the biggest key, shocker, pass protection. They say this, for all the things the new coaching staff wants to do, like open it up a little bit more, generate more of a rhythm, start to keep defenses on their heels, it's not happening unless the offensive line is stronger. There's experience and size with 4 expected returning starters and all the options looking the SEC part, but the cohesion has to be there from the beginning. The Gamecocks allowed 27 sacks and an SEC most 78 tackles for loss in just 10 games. Guys, 78 tackles for loss in 10 games. That's nuts. They also say now there's a new offensive style, new wide receivers, and a green quarterback in, most likely Luke Doty, who needs all the time he can get. And again, like I said, guys, the 27 sacks, I will say this. I think the offensive line is taking the blame for a lot of sacks where defense is just simply new. Colin Hill can't move. Let's just blitz and get there as fast as we can. He cannot scramble. He cannot make us pay for it. I think Luke Doty alone is going to help those sack numbers. All right, South Carolina's biggest key for the 2021 football season on defense. They say, hey, and on the flip side, biggest key for the defense, get into the backfield. They say it's no coincidence that the Gamecocks defense couldn't come up with a third down stop and was a disaster against the decent passers. South Carolina is bad at generating pressure and worse at coming up with tackles for loss. There is no excuse this time around. They say the defense has the all-SEC end in J.J. Enagbare. It has the speed rusher from the transfer portal in Jordan Strawn, and it has the bulk on the inside to let everyone else work. The team came up with 10 sacks in the first 4 games of the season, and it won 2 games and wasn't awful in the other 2. It came up with just 4 sacks the rest of the way and went 0-6. Guys, I posted that on a graphic like 2 weeks ago. Mind-blowing numbers. Let me read that again. The team came up with 10 sacks in the first 4 games, went 2-2. It came up with 4 sacks the rest of the way and went 0-6. So going, and get this stat, Going back to 2016, South Carolina is 13-2. 13-2 when generating three or more sacks. Proof's in the pudding, man. You get to the quarterback, you're going to win a lot of games. Let's move into they talk about South Carolina's key player to a successful season. Key player to a successful season. And this one doesn't surprise me at all, guys, because in college football, you've heard me say it before, in college football, if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. So their key player to a successful season in 2021 is quarterback Luke Doty. They say the 6'1", 204-pounder isn't a lock for the starting gig, but it's going to take something big from Jason Brown or Colton Gauthier to knock him out. He's mobile, has a solid arm, and he has a little experience. It wasn't pretty, but he took over the last three games of the 2020 season, hit 61% of his passes for 405 yards and two touchdowns with three picks. For the most part, he handed off to Kevin Harris and made a whole lot of safe throws, but now he has to start stretching the field and make the O go for the new coaching staff. I mean, really, guys, it's, you know, we can talk running game, we can talk this, that, but really in college football, like, again, if you do not have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance if you don't have a quarterback. I do agree with them. Luke Doty, probably at least offensively, he's your most important player. Luke Doty doesn't have to be a hero. He doesn't have to do anything crazy. He doesn't have to throw for 3,000 yards, but he's got to manage this offense. Just don't lose games for us. That's all we're asking for. Don't lose games. And use your legs and be a weapon. Make the defense account for you. I think if Luke Doty can do that, I think he's a much better passer than people want to admit or give credit for. Is he an elite passer? Absolutely not. But he is a good enough passer in this offense, especially what Marcus Satterfield and I think what Shane Beamer are going to be asking him to do in the identity of this offense. Let's move into South Carolina's key game to the 2021 football season, according to collegefootballnews.com and Pete Fuchak. And this one, this is really interesting because I'm going to be asking you guys this question probably multiple times this offseason, okay? And I've actually gone back and forth on this a little bit. And I ran a poll. I don't know how seriously I take it because I ran a poll saying which is the biggest game of the 2021 season. And somehow at Tennessee won the poll. I mean, I know we hate Tennessee, guys, but would you really call that the most important game of the season? Maybe some of you would. I don't know. But per collegefootballnews.com and Pete Fuchak, the key game of the 2021 Gamecocks football season is the home date on September the 25th against the Kentucky Wildcats. And they say this: no one will be expecting too much out of the SEC opener at Georgia, but the Gamecocks should be 2-1 if they can get by Eastern Illinois and East Carolina. Kentucky will be the big moment to possibly become the big surprise team of the first half of the season. Tennessee is still gettable, even on the road. Beat UK, and with Troy, the Vols, and Vanderbilt to follow, there is a real shot to be bowl eligible, I should say, by the time the brutal second half of the season rolls around. Lose, and then Tennessee is a must-win, considering how the schedule plays out over the last five games. More on that in the next section. Now, like I said, guys, I've gone back and forth on this because I've almost thought to believe that East Carolina is the key game of the 2021 season. I'll get more to this when I break down the actual season in about a month and a half from now and give my official predictions and all that. But I think you can certainly make a case it's Kentucky. I mean, listen, it's hard. You ask any South Carolina fan, right, myself included, and the Gamecocks have lost 6 of 7 to Kentucky. Believe it or not, 6 of 7. But is there a single South Carolina fan right now that would sit there and say, yeah, Kentucky's a better football program than us? No, nobody would. Again, yours truly included. Not a chance. And Kentucky, Mark Stoops has completely flipped that program. He's done a hell of a job. But the stigma around Kentucky is still there. Losing to Kentucky is bad. It doesn't matter how good they are. It's bad, especially on your home field. And I can see, honestly, if you say Kentucky's the most important game, I think it's a very valid argument because that game to me kind of feels like the difference between, oh, hell yeah, we won. This is a new era, a new day for Carolina football. Versus if you lose, maybe people won't be saying it quite as publicly as they would have if Will Muschamp was the coach, but it's going to have that feeling of, oh my God, here we go again. Now, I've talked to different people, and I would argue that East Carolina game maybe is the biggest game of the season. And again, I have not locked in my pick on that, but I do still, with that being said about the Kentucky game and its importance, I look at that Kentucky game and say, you know what? You can lose to Kentucky and still get to 6-6, which is going to be the goal in this 2021 season, right? If you can get to 6-6, you had a successful year, no matter if you beat Kentucky or not. Because if you lose, let's say you lose to Kentucky and beat Auburn and you finish 6-6. If you get a 6-6, like I said, you had a good year. You cannot get to 6-6 if you lose to East Carolina. You simply cannot do it. But that's something to think about. And going to be a lot of interesting conversation on that over the next couple of months for sure. Hey, here's some interesting fun stats for the 2020 season, by the way, that they note. Tackles for loss. Opponents had 78. South Carolina had 39. First half scoring. The Gamecocks were outscored by their opponents 192 to 89 in the first half. And fourth down conversions. South Carolina went 17 to 23, converting 74%. Opponents went just 8 of 15 for 53%. Here's the problem, though. Opponents didn't really get to fourth down all that much against us. All right, final page here. They say, what will happen in season prediction for the 2021 Gamecocks football season? Of course, this per collegefootballnews.com and Pete Fuchak. They say this. Shane Beamer is walking into a decent situation, even after the program's ugly 2-8 2020 season that crashed after a 2-2 start, including the firing of Will Muschamp with a few games to go. Now it's up to Beamer to take all the positive in place and make this work right away. The expectations won't be that high for 2021, but he might be able to pull off something interesting. No, he's not the proven superstar powerhouse head man some might have wanted for the gig, but he knows the program as a former Gamecock assistant. He paid his dues to go along with his family name, and he's more than ready to run his own show. There's a whole lot of talent coming back, but the line should be a whole lot better, and there's enough in place for a quick turnaround as long as the first half of the season is tremendous. They say set the South on a regular season win total at .5. So that's like per Vegas, right? Set the win total at 5, over under 5. And they continue on saying this. Last year's team desperately needed a few record padding games, and this year's version has them with Eastern Illinois, East Carolina, and Troy. At least the hope is to rock against those three. And I would agree, and I think that's a lot of SEC teams and a lot of SEC fan bases. You know, as great as the 10-game conference schedule was, it was great football week after week. It is going to be really nice to have those non-conference games to boost up that record a little bit, if you will. They continue on. It says Vanderbilt has to be a home win, and the Gamecocks have to at least split against Tennessee and Kentucky. There can't be too many, if any, misfires in the winnable games over the first seven because at Texas A&M, Florida, at Mizzou, Auburn, and Clemson. And that is, if you didn't catch that, that's the second half of the season, of the schedule. It says, of course, the whole idea is for South Carolina to improve as the season goes on and take down a few of the tough games over the finishing kick. But this is still a program that went 2-8 last year, 4-8 in 2019, and went through four losing seasons in the last six. There's building to be done, but don't be stunned if Beamer is able to do it quickly with this bunch. Really good stuff. And I would agree. Hey, the opportunity's there, especially in the front half of that season, front half of that schedule. And there's talent on this football team, guys. Look at recruiting. Look at the recruiting rankings. We know there's talent on this football team. So they don't give an official prediction like record-wise. I think they'll do that as we get closer to the season, but it definitely sounds like they're pretty high on South Carolina and Shane Beamer, at least the potential of what this season could be. So really, really good stuff there from collegefootballnews.com. Again, that's collegefootballnews.com. Pete Fuchak's 2021 breakdown and preview of this Gamecocks football team and season. Go check them out. collegefootballnews.com is where you can find it, guys. And that's going to do it all for us. Like I said, man, I can't wait. I love it. Talking seasons here. We're breaking everything down. It's never too early to start talking Gamecocks. Well, hey, guys, get this. Next Thursday, if you didn't know, May the 27th, 100 days till kickoff. 100 days till kickoff. Crazy. It's crazy. It's almost here. Talking season's right around the corner. Before you know it, it's going to be SEC Media Days, and we're going to be off and sprinting until toe meets leather. Guys, great stuff. That was fun. That was definitely – we're going to have to do that definitely again, like I said, Athlon, Phil Steele, pick six previews, all the magazines. I'll be sure to do that with you guys. Like, I think it's fun to compare and contrast and give my thoughts as we go along and just kind of see what are the national college football guys saying about South Carolina. I would say this again, College Football News, I think it sounds like they feel pretty good about South Carolina. I mean, it's pretty impressive to me that, like, you know, it's not like Shane Beamer's coming into some total rebuild. I mean, for a lot of schools, you know, you're coming into a situation where it's like, oh my God, can we even win two or three games this year? Like, there's enough talent to win six and get to a bowl game. And I think that's, you know, that's a pretty decent situation to be in. So, going to be a lot of fun. Really, really good stuff from collegefootballnews.com. Guys, before we close, one last note. Like I mentioned, 100% capacity for Williams-Brice Stadium. Also, not just in the stadium, 100% tailgating. No restrictions, no masks. Folks, what a way to go into the weekend. I'll leave you on that note. Congratulations. We did it. We made it. We're back. And I'll see you at Williams-Brice, and I'll see you at the tailgate this fall. Guys, again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Appreciate y'all making this another successful week. The podcast, the Daily Crow, all the content absolutely rolling this week. Truly appreciate it. And again, of course, we'll continue to roll on next week. Postseason baseball's here starting next week. SEC tournament going to be a fun week, an interesting week. Appreciate y'all all being along for the ride. But until then, guys, go Cox, beat Tennessee. Let's take them down game two and three. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.